God has a part for you in His divine plan. Learn more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Gloria Copeland and her special guest, Billy Brim, as they conclude this week's teaching on An Awakening to God Through the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim's back with us, and we are so glad to have her. We've had a great week this week. If you've missed it, you need to go get it on the internet. Billy, what are you going to do today?
Well, today,
what have you got?
Well, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to help me again.
Yes.
One more time. Sometimes I pray, help me one more time. He always helps me one more time. So he's one more time today.
Amen.
And we've been looking at the book of Zechariah. We're actually looking at the Holy Ghost and his part in the plan of God. He has a part in the plan for Israel to bring them back. He's bringing them home right now.
You see,
Shelley was telling me, I didn't happen to see this, Gloria, but on 700 Club, they did a feature on the Chinese Jews. And the Bible says,
yes,
it calls them the Sine, S-I-N-E.
I'll show it to you.
And he said, bringing them home and bringing them home from India. He said he would do it in this book. Who's doing that? The Holy Ghost.
I remember, I think it was you, and there was a map and how all this
yes.
led to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Bringing
them from everywhere. It's the Holy Ghost. And so he's got this plan, and every single prophet talks about it. They had been in Zechariah. They'd been in captivity for 70 years, but he's brought them home. 42,000 of them came. Their leader is Zerubbabel. Their high priest is Joshua. And so anyway, it's a formidable task. Sanballat is against them. Everybody's against them, you know. And So
what's new about
that? Yeah, what's new about that? And they got this plan of God. They got to build this big temple here. And people are disappointed because it doesn't look anything like the first temple. And so the leader's become, he's become very discouraged. And Zerubbabel and the prophets come to him and say, listen, you better examine yourself. There's a reason why. It's you're heaping up things, but it's like a bag of holes in it. It's because you started this project. Now you need to come on. And so God gives him how it's going to happen. It's not going to be by your strength, mm-hmm. Zerubbabel.
Yes.
And so he's telling them here how it's going to happen. And he says, chapter 4, verse 6, then he answered the angel and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Hallelujah.
So this project's going to get finished. Not only that,
that's
candlestick.
That's the way we still do projects,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
And this project of the Israel, the whole of Israel, because it's talking about when they're a golden lampstand in the earth again, a light to the nations, the whole plan of God for Israel, which is going to develop. Zechariah starts right where they were then, coming back from, you know, captivity and building the second temple. And it goes right on up into the millennium. So all of that future, all of those things that are going to happen in the future, it's not any of it going to come by power or by might. It's going to come by my spirit.
Yes, amen.
Now, in this book, Zechariah, he tells us the meaning of these words. David Barron does. He was trained in rabbinical schools, and he knows all the meaning of them. The first word, not by might, is hayil, and it means strength of many. Like an army, strength of an army. And koach is not by power, and the koach is the power of one man. So it's not going to be by the strength of an army. It's not going to be by the power
strength
of one man
yeah.
that you're going to get this built. It's going to be how? By my spirit saith Yahweh Sabaoth. Oh. And Yahweh Sabaoth, that is one of the names of God. There's many names of God revealed to us in the Bible. But here's what that one means. He is the Lord of all things, at whose call all created forces must marshal themselves as if for war.
Wow.
He's the God of armies.
What page is that?
This is page 11. And this is your book, which I carried home with me last time. I'm going to leave with you this time.
You just go in there and get my stuff.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm leaving it with you.
Just so you mark it up.
Yeah, look in here.
You'll just leave the marks in
here. Look in here right there.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I don't have to be concerned. You've already marked it up for me.
Well, you had a lot of marks in there anyway. But that's one of his names, Jehovah Sabaoth. He tells us he's got armies
Praise
of angels.
God.
He's got armies of Israel. He's got army of the church. He's got army of hailstones. He's got army of stars. So when he marks it by Yahweh Sabaoth, That means whatever force I need, I can call into effect.
Amen.
This job's getting done.
Ooh, amen.
Now, he says how you're going to release that power is with your mouth. Zerubbabel.
Yeah.
That big mountain out there that's trying to keep you from getting God's work done.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to speak grace to it.
Oh, that's what we have to remember in our assignments.
Yeah. And you say grace, grace to it.
Yes.
And you know what? It'll become
favor,
a plane.
Favor.
It'll become a plane. And he says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. The house is going to be finished. It's going to have a headstone. You see, that's what he told him to bring into being with the headstone. You shall bring forth the headstone. The headstone is the Rosh Pina. It's the head of the corner. It's not a foundation stone. It's the one that you finish it. And he said, Zerubbabel, you're going to get this job finished. And the way you're going to do it, you're going to release the power of the Holy Ghost with your mouth.
With your mouth. Shout it.
You're going to say, that's how faith works from Genesis 1.
That's right.
And so here's what you do. So I can just see Zerubbabel out there on that mountain, just proclaiming grace, grace to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to have to do, and you're going to have to do with everything he told us. Bless the Lord.
That's exactly
and that's what
right.
we're going to have to do about the church itself, because it is a house of God. And this is what David Barron says about that. He says, now, it was true of that temple at that time, but he said, it'll be true even right up to when the millennial temple is built. The millennial temple will be the temple of Ezekiel chapter 40, which the Messiah, the true son of David, shall not only be the real builder of the future literal temple, which through the millennial period shall be the center of true worship of Jehovah on this earth and the house of prayer for all nations. You see, those sheep nations that come in to the millennium, they got in on a works judgment. They don't know much. They got in on a works judgment because they helped Israel when the Antichrist was after them. So they got to go up to Jerusalem. That's what Zechariah says, 14, every year. And they got to go up at the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says in Isaiah, it says that out of Jerusalem, the Jews are going to be a light again to the nations. But also of the much more glorious mystical building. He said, now he's the Lord of the mystical building. That's us, the ecclesia, the church. Which through eternity shall be for the habitation of God through the Spirit. The purpose of the church is to be built a habitation of God through the Spirit. We're going to look at that in Ephesians. Of this spiritual temple, he, the Lord himself, is the sure foundation. He's the precious cornerstone.
Amen.
He's the headstone of the corner. And not only that, he's the master builder.
Glory. We're going to make it.
He writes 19 centuries ago, because that's been 100 years since he wrote this book. Now it's 20 centuries ago. In his life of suffering 2,000 years ago, in his life, our Lord's life of suffering, death of atonement, glorious resurrection, in all of that, the foundation of the temple that the church is was laid. The foundation has already been laid 2,000 years ago. We don't lay it again. That's what Hebrews said. You don't have to lay it again. It's laid. You don't destroy it. You build off of it. You don't throw away the foundation.
No.
But since then, living stones, whosoever will, any Jew, any Gentile, whosoever believes that God raised Jesus from the dead and takes him as his, their Lord,
thank God,
then they become a living stone. We are living stones in this great edifice that God's building. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
And we are being gathered by his Spirit. Assembled even by his Spirit, and the building is being fitly framed together. Bing, 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 building.
The church.
And it's growing toward completion. Oh, I could get up and jump around. It's going to be finished. The headstone. Hallelujah. The building is being fitly framed together. It's growing toward completion. But the exceeding magnificence and spiritual glory of this mystical temple will not be manifested until at the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the headstone is brought forth and Christ is ever joined with his body. Of course, we know that the body and the head. Then, when covered with the beauty of her Lord and made perfect in the comeliness which he shall put upon her, there will be shouting of joy and admiration, not only of men, but by the hosts of heaven.
Praise
hallelujah,
Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got a great and glorious future. So now he's talking about, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Because, chapter 3 and verse 4. Now remember Zerubbabel's building a house back here. Actually, we often talk about the building of the tabernacle. Moses finished it and it filled up with glory. And we talk about the building of the first temple. Solomon filled it and it filled up with glory. He built it and it filled up with glory. He finished it. So Zerubbabel, he's got to finish that second temple. And so he told how to do it. And now, then, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Now then, we're going to look at this mystical house that we, the church, are in Hebrews chapter 3. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. God is the builder of all things. Moses was faithful in his own house, verse 6, but Christ, the anointed one, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. We are the house that the Lord, the anointed one, is building. Wherefore, verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So we are the house. Amen. He is the son. We are the house. Whose house we are. It says whose house we are. We are the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, the master builder. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. We need to hear his voice. Brother Keith Moore did a great teaching on that, hearing his voice. Today, if you will hear the Lord, harden not your voice. Mm-hmm. And he preached about holiness.
Praise
and
God.
That was at, we had that here at the Days of Refreshing in September last year. And he said, he taught us that even born again believers, New Testament believers, won't hear God if they harden their hearts.
That's right.
And he taught about holiness.
That's
and,
what happens to a lot of believers.
Yeah, and keeping your ears open to God.
Obeying.
So, obeying. You got to obey.
If you
it tells
hear,
you.
Hear
and obey. Verse 7 tells you that. Verse 15 tells you that. Chapter 4,
Amen.
Verse 7 tells you that. So we got to hear the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is, he's orchestrating this building of this house.
Which means you have to give him attention. You have to make time for the Lord, for the Word.
You mean when somebody talks to you, you have to pay attention to them?
You do, if you want to know what they're saying. But then sometimes I wake up and I think, what'd they say? So I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't paying attention.
So I didn't get it.
Did you ever notice how good husbands are at that? Mine was. He had selective hearing. I could be telling a story, you know, and then he, at the
end. He changed stations.
At the end, he wants to get in on it.
Yeah.
I have already told this story for 14 minutes. On the 15th minute, he wants to know it.
Now, what was that?
Oh, he got interested here. So he starts to listen. But I have to repeat. He was very good at that. I'd always blamed it on his Cherokee blood. I don't know which it is. But anyway, I'm sure that a lot of people have selective hearing in the body of Christ. But now, we're going to look here at the book of Ephesians. Oh, what a book. Just to meditate. Every line. Meditation. You look at line by line and you think on it. And you let the Lord talk to you about that line. So it tells us here that what the purpose of the church is. You're not going to find God's plan for the church in the Old Testament. You're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're going to find it in the letters. And here in this letter, it tells us this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are also builded together for and habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, that's what the Holy Ghost is doing right now. We're presently not building.
We even get to have a textbook.
Yeah. Right, we got this textbook right here.
What they've said.
He's not building the first temple. He's not building the second temple. He's building the church. And it's builded for a purpose, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know how God moved in 40th chapter of Exodus to the tabernacle? Everybody fell over. Mm-hmm. Then God moved in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they finished the temple, Solomon filled the temple. Everybody fell over and could not stand up. Yeah. We're going to talk about Sister Woodworth Eder and how the people would fall under the power of God. She had such a power of God in her meetings. And people fuss about that. But when it's real, it's because the presence of God is so heavy that flesh will just give way to it. Bless the Lord. So here it tells us in Ephesians.
We've been in some services like that.
We have. We're going to be more.
Amen.
According to the prophet Kenneth E. Hagin, the whole congregation's going out in the power in some services. And some people are going to reject it.
Kelly, I think Kelly had it on her telephone the other day, and somebody showed me a picture of a meeting from Brother Hagin's. And it was one of those meetings where everybody was falling in.
Yeah.
And Ken, of course, was in the middle of it. And, you know, it was just so awesome.
That's awesome.
We've seen some of these things. Yes, that's right.
But there's a lot of young people, Gloria, that haven't.
That's right.
And there's a lot. It's going to happen.
And you have to be in one to understand it.
You have to be in one. And then you don't understand it.
No.
But, oh, brother, do you ever enjoy it?
You like it.
Spirit witnesses with it. And there's great power there. There's no substitute for the power of God.
Do you remember that picture on the front of the Tulsa World from Brother Hagin? I think it was Tulsa World.
I remember. We all show that picture. Get them.
And there was Brother Hagin.
Show it.
I'll try to find it. There was Brother Hagin, and there was Ken like this. He was running. And
yeah.
We've been in meetings
like
that.
And we've had reporters report.
Yes, that's right.
Like they did Sister Woodworth Eder.
Yeah.
You're going to have the world report on it.
They don't understand it,
but sometimes that good press will draw the crowds. Bless the Lord. So all the buildings are being fitted together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And when He fills us up like that in our meetings, and He fills us up in our lives, oh boy, glory be to God. Now, look at this. Follow on in your book of Ephesians. For this cause I, Paul. This cause, what cause? Building that habitation of God. For this cause I, Paul, verse 14, bow my knees. And then he prays the prayer, and he ends it by saying, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Throughout all ages, this glorious habitation of God is going to give God glory. So we are told we are the house of God. We are told we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we are the temple of God. Somebody is messing around with sin. And Paul said, how in the world can you do that when you know that you are the temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Holy Ghost dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Sometimes I think on Western Christians, they don't even understand temples. It's not just to get you saved. It's not just to get you to heaven. Then we should just shoot you and let you go right at the altar. No, He wants to manifest God in you to this whole world. And so you must be holy. Now, you said that Creflo said you want the power without what? Without the holy living.
Yeah.
They want the power without the separation and the holy living. That's the reason why you can't just run around doing crazy things. You want to have the power on you. Now I'm going to start meddling. Hallelujah. No, I won't meddle just for two more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This tells us, bless the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter... The next one is 6:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19. What? Oh, here's where they were at fornication. Flee fornication.
Flee, run.
Run. My daughter Shelley says it's hard to fornicate when you're fleeing. Flee fornication. That's sexual sin.
Yes.
Every sin that a man does without his body, so on and so forth. What? Here's Paul's answer. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How can you, preacher, think of running off with a piano player? How can you think of molesting a child? Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is in you. Folks, we have to teach our young people what is holy and what is not holy. Holy is separated. Now here's my meddling. You can turn me off. We're just about to go off the air. I am going to read you from Leviticus 19. Exodus, Leviticus 19. And we're going to go to verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, saith the Lord. And one of the Hebrew translations I have says, you'll not pierce your body as the dead, as for the dead they do, and you will not print marks upon you. You will not write on your body. Do not write on your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You should not be putting graffiti on your body. On the temple. You wouldn't go down to the temple in Jerusalem if you had a black spray can, and you wouldn't start spraying all over the side of it. Now, if you already have tattoos, if you already have those things and you didn't know, bless the Lord, go on with God. The blood will just cleanse it right off of you. But if you have this idea of being the temple of the Holy Ghost, we got into an elevator one day, and we were in Jerusalem. This young man got on. It was summertime. He had a T-shirt on, and he had shorts, and he had Jesus tattooed over his body. You could not even see his skin, not in one place. And he was thinking he was witnessing to the Jews. Are you kidding me? They know this scripture right here. Wow. They know you're not supposed to do that to the temple of God. And so it doesn't make it all right just because it says just a cross on you or whatever. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot. This name of Jesus, this power of God. Well, you say, what about earrings? Well, he said he sent earrings. No, you don't have to do that. The bride of Isaac, he sent earrings to him, to her. Genesis, Abraham's servant took earrings to her. Genesis 24, and the bride of Jehovah himself said, I saw you, Israel, when you were down there in your blood, and I gave to you beautiful earrings. So it really, in a bride, it shows subservience and submission. But so that's not the puncture for the dead that he's talking about. They punctured their body. You know over there, Elijah, you remember those guys all day long? They're puncturing their body. They're bleeding around here and there. And then it's no wonder Elijah could kill 4,000 of them because they were weakened and bled all day long. But I'm telling you, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you don't need to stand up before people abusing the scriptures and claiming holiness. I might be marked off of a lot of lists right now, but I'm going to say it. I'm 70 years old and I can say it.
You're on the main list, Billy.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I'm not going off this list. The blessed list. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Doubletree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org.
Today is offering day, and Billy and I are going to pray over your finances. The scripture says in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, blessings, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one decide as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. For God loves a cheerful giver, a quick-to-do-it giver, the scripture says. And God is able. Now, some of you may be in financial problems right now. Well, if you don't have money to sow, sow something. Sow yourself if you don't have anything else. Sow something toward your increase. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, that's the will of God, always. For you to always prosper and for you that you may always under all circumstances. That means when times are good, when times are bad, it's the will of God for you and me to prosper. Hallelujah. All of us. We have the laws of prosperity from the written word that overcome every depression, every recession, yes. Whatever's happening in the natural world, people losing their jobs. We've got a higher law working for us.
Praise
and
him.
It's the law of seed time and harvest. It says, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient. Furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So Billy and I are going to pray and agree for you today. If you've got a figure that you're going to sow into the work of the Lord, if you don't have anything to sow, we're going to pray for you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke lack off the people of God. We command prosperity to come. Bless their seed. Increase them, Lord. Show them what to do in order to open the floodgates of heaven in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we always having, that's what this scripture says, we are always having sufficiency and enough.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for the blessing in Jesus' name. Prosperity come, money come, be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Get your sights off what's happening around you. Quit listening to what they're saying on the news and start listening to the good news of the Word of God. Begin to be a sower. Sow something. Sow clothes. Sow something to someone that needs it. And your harvest and your return will come. So we thank you for sowing into this ministry. We thank you for listening to the Lord. And we say, be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We'll see you next week. We're going to continue our study with Billy Brim. And you'll get stirred up. So we'll see you then. And remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395.